Let's go to Exodus chapter 29. We'll go ahead and get in tonight in Exodus chapter number 29. I want to preach to you tonight on consecration to service. Consecration to service. Exodus 29, verse number 1, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual state. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the people that came out tonight. Lord, even though they're tired from working, been out in the world all week, and Lord, they came, I'm sure, because they wanted to be here. I mean, their flesh may not have wanted to, but their spirit did. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I ask you, God, please, don't let them leave here without a blessing. Give them something that they need tonight that'll help them out a little bit. Strengthen your people, strengthen your church, help our eyes to get placed on Jesus Christ. Give us the strength and the energy we need here, Lord, to focus for a little bit and get some help out of this thing. Consecrate us tonight, Lord, to your service, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, verse number 1 kind of sets the context for the whole chapter pretty clearly. In verse number 1, God says this, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office." So two things right out of the gate. Number one, to hallow is to consecrate. It has to do with consecration. It's to set them apart. And God wanted Aaron and his sons hallowed, consecrated, for what? It says right there, to minister unto me. I want to stop again and make the point that has been made repeatedly, that their job was to minister unto the Lord and not unto men, for ye serve the Lord Christ, Colossians chapter 3. Everything that you and I do, everything that you and I do, whether it be go to work in the morning, come to church on Wednesday night, be in church on Sunday, do what you do in church, preach in the jail, preach in the nursing home, lead songs, play the instruments, work in the nursery, teach the Sunday school classes, resist temptation, try to pray, try to read your Bible. Everything that you and I do ought to be done with one purpose in mind, as unto the Lord. You know what will create faithfulness in your life? Consistency and stability in your life? Being consecrated unto the Lord. If you do what you do for people, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you do what you do for people, if you do what you do for the pastor or for your friends in church or for your acquaintances or for your family, the time will come when your motivation to continue doing what you do will be completely gone. We have to do what we do is unto the Lord. I believe this is what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Feed my sheep." What was Peter's job? Peter's job was to feed the sheep. But what was God saying? Jesus Christ was saying to Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, I love you." "Okay, then feed my sheep." What's the motive for feeding the sheep? Loving the Lord. Everything that you and I do ought to have that motive of ministering unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, that does not mean we become arrogant jerks. That does not mean we're in people's, "Well, I ain't doing what I do for men." Well, if you were really doing it as unto the Lord, you'd have a different spirit about you.
You wouldn't have the spirit about you that rubs everybody the wrong way. The spirit about you that's in everybody's face. The spirit about you that's always being arrogant and always being contrary to everybody, everywhere, all the time. You're a bad representative of the Lord. Amen. You know what testament you're in? Not the old one. Let us call down fire from heaven, God. You don't know what spirit you're of. In this testament, if we're doing what we do is unto the Lord, then we'll have a spirit about us of ministering. And that ministering will overflow onto people because the main focus is the Lord. Now, last week we saw in chapter 28 how God prepared his people for service. This week I want to look at how God consecrated his men for service. The first thing that I noticed right out of the gate is the anointing oil in verse number 2. God tells them to bring two young bullock in verse 1, two rams in verse 1, and verse 2, unleavened bread, cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Now that caught my attention because you know in the Bible what being anointed with oil is a type of. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Look down at verse number 7. It says, then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. So Aaron was to be anointed with oil poured upon his head. How much oil was poured out was Aaron to be anointed with? Enough to soak him. He was to be given enough oil that when he dumped it on his head, it was to run down and cover him. Aaron was anointed with oil before the sacrifice was made. I found that peculiar because the sons, Aaron's sons, don't get anointed with oil until verse number 21. Look down there if you would. It says, and thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil. This oil was already dumped on Aaron, but his sons didn't get it until verse 21, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons, which followed him. And he shall be hallowed and his garments and his sons' garments with him. So in verse number 7, before they even entered, before the sacrifice has even been made, Aaron is being anointed with oil. But in verse number 21, quite a ways after, a lot of blood has already been shed, now his sons are getting sprinkled with oil. Aaron got anointed before the sacrifice. The boys don't get anointed until after the sacrifice, and they don't get anointed with the same amount that Aaron got anointed with. What's the point, preacher? What are you driving at? Go with me to John chapter number 3. Aaron is a type of Jesus Christ. Important to get a hold of this fact. If you're talking about being consecrated to service, you have to know where the beginning point is. You have to see Jesus Christ. You have to understand who he is. And in order to ever serve him, we got to understand some things about him that God's trying to teach us. John chapter 3, verse number 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. How do you know God sent Jesus Christ? How do you know he wasn't just another prophet like all the other prophets? He spoke the words of God. How do you know your preacher's right? He's going to give you the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's talking about Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit, and we don't even know exactly how much. God said he did not give it by measure. The Holy Ghost of God controlled Jesus Christ, filled Jesus Christ, flooded Jesus Christ, used Jesus Christ. He was in the full control of God's Holy Spirit. His entire ministry, he was never leaking. He had that thing filled up the whole time. Before the sacrifice was made, he had not yet died on the cross. He was filled with the Spirit of God before the sacrifice. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Keep going to your right. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. We're going to start with verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son, the capital S, that's Jesus Christ. He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Notice what he said. Unto the Son, thy throne who?
thy throne, O God. That's showing you that Jesus Christ is God. He's not, you know, just the first begotten of God, like I believe the JWs teach. He's not just the Son of God created at some point in eternity past and the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. That is a Bible doctrine. That's not something we make up. Under the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, that's Jesus Christ in his life and ministry, and hated iniquity. Jesus Christ hated sin. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ had an anointing that was greater than any of his sons. He had that oil poured out on him before the sacrifice. Go back to Psalms chapter 45 on our way back to Exodus. Stop in Psalms 45. Trying to make the point to you that Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God on a level that no man has ever had him. Psalm chapter number 45, look at verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. All of his garments covered with that anointing oil. Folks, back in Exodus chapter 29, please, Aaron is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that high priest that Hebrews tells us about. Jesus is a greater one, but he is a type, a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus Christ. He's anointed outside the tabernacle before the sacrifice is made, and he is anointed on a level his sons cannot have. I'll tell you this much, I like this saying a lot. Some charismatic lady asked my preacher down south, she said, "You got the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "Yep, sure do, but I got a leak." You filled with the Holy Ghost? The second you realize you're filled with the Holy Ghost, 9 times out of 10, you get so lifted up with pride, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, the filling, oops. Why did God command you and I to be filled with the Spirit? If your tendency wasn't to be filled with the flesh, it's possible for you to be sealed by the Spirit, born by the Spirit, to have the Spirit of God, because you're bought with a price, you're not your own, you have Him inside of you forever, but not to be filled with Him. You're sprinkled. You know the day is coming that you and I are going to be filled and we're going to stay filled. I can't wait for that day. But between now and then, I got to realize something. I got to realize I'm just one of the sons and that there's a process in my consecration. There's a need that I have for the Holy Ghost to God. I don't have it poured out on me without measure like God, like Jesus Christ had. My gifts are limited. My talents are limited. My holiness and my personal holiness is limited. I have to be on that thing and focused on what I'm to do to be set apart and consecrated so the Holy Ghost of God can use me. And before he even let them into the tabernacle, they had to be prepared. They had to be consecrated. And those sons of Aaron, they got it sprinkled. Look, think about this. If you had the filling of God's Spirit without measure, you'd have every gift there was. Right? You got every gift there is? I think God knows he shouldn't give it to sinful men while we're still in sinful flesh. You know what would happen? You would be the richest, most arrogant, most self-centered Corinthian Christian there ever was, because the Corinthians were the most gifted church and the most carnal church. That's proof right there that you may have the Holy Ghost, but you got a leak. You filled with the Holy Ghost? Good night, man. Half the time, I don't know. Well, you should know, brother. I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that. Because once you, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. You seem to be filled with pride to me. Be real careful, man. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a commandment from God that you and I are to have. And he told them that because their tendency was always to go the wrong direction. What is it with us?
Why is it that the days come where you're still doing right, you're trying, you're going through the motions, but you are not on fire for God anymore? You are not excited about your Bible anymore. To pray sounds like the greatest drudgery there ever was. Hasn't there been times you've got on your knees and God showed up and you enjoyed your fellowship? It was sweet and it was real. Hey, you'd witness to anybody, anywhere. You'd witness to the fence post, man. You didn't care. And now, dragging yourself into church, you ain't excited about Jesus. You got a leak. I'm glad my Aaron, my great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, was anointed with the Spirit of God without measure. And I want to strive as long as he'll let me live in this sinful flesh to be as like him as I can. So before they even entered, you got to understand the Holy Ghost has got a lot to do with it. You know how somebody gets saved? The Holy Ghost shows up before the sacrifice. Now, they're not sealed with him, right? But he came to reprove the, you know the passage? He came to reprove the church, the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So the Holy Ghost shows up before they've even made it into the tabernacle, before the sacrifice has even been applied to them. The Holy Ghost is there convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. You see the picture? You know what they need? They need a great high priest. You need to respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved tonight, the first thing you better do is get saved. I don't think for 2 seconds, just because you come to church every week and you've been faithful, I don't care if you've been faithful in this church for years, that doesn't mean to me that you've necessarily automatically saved. This wasn't even in my notes. Maybe the Holy Ghost has this for somebody tonight. Just because you're here don't mean you're born again. Just because you said a little prayer to appease somebody don't mean you're actually saved. Amen. You need to respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit before the sacrifice will be applied. When he convicts you and you respond to that thing and you get on your knees and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born of the Spirit. What are you doing? You're accepting the sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary is being applied to you. That's the first step in your anointing. The second thing I want you to notice is the bullock. In verse number 1, he has him take 2 young bullock. See that? Verse number 3, he'll bring in the basket with the bullock and the 2 young rams. Verse number 10, thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Now this bullock means a lot. First thing it is, according to verse number 14, you got to recognize is that this is a sin offering. This is the first offering they're to make. And in verse number 14, it's as clear as crystal, it's a sin offering. What the bullock represents is the strength of sin. The bullock, that oxen, the bullock, was the strongest animal they had in work in the fields, right? It's a powerful beast. It represents the strength of sin. What's the strength of sin? You read your New Testament? The strength of sin is the law. 1 Corinthians 15. So when they slay the bullock, what they're doing is they're showing that Aaron and his sons, they're laying their hands on that thing. You know what they're showing the world? You know what they're showing all of Israel? Hey, we ministers are sinners. Because in the New Testament, in Corinthians, the ministers are likened to a bullock, to an oxen. It says not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. In that context, it's talking about supporting the guys who minister to you spiritually. You support them carnally. And he likens preachers to oxen. What a blessing. How uplifting. Their work is to plow the field, to plant the seed. That's their job. So this bullock is an offering for sin, but it's an offering for sin for the priest's sins. I found that interesting. I found it quite interesting that when God is talking about his men who he plans to use in the ministry, he points out to all the congregation right at the beginning, hey, I want everybody to see before we even enter that tabernacle, I want you to notice these men that are to minister before me are sinful men. Everybody needs to know that. That's a public message. They're not the perfect one. My son who's coming later, he's the perfect one. Those fellas need a sacrifice. God was pointing out that even the ministers couldn't go in to serve the Lord until they'd been consecrated and set apart and there had been some kind of a forgiveness for their sin. You cannot be consecrated to God till you recognize you're a sinful vessel. We think too much of ourselves. Just because you're called to whatever doesn't automatically indebt God to use you. Many men are called, but few are chosen. I want to be a chosen one. And the first step towards that is to recognize my own sinfulness. Jesus Christ, when he talked about in Luke chapter 13, when he healed up that woman who was bound over, remember that on the Sabbath day? And they're all criticizing the Lord. He said, you loose your ox on the Sabbath to take him for watering. You hypocrite, you think I shouldn't help her out? An ox throughout the Old Testament and throughout your Bible is likened to a minister. And it's a sin offering. You know that bullock? You know what the word bull actually means? A message. You know a papal bull? A message from a papacy, the pope, a papal bull. It's a message. A bull ox. You know what the preacher likened to an ox? He's to give a message. Before that message is ready to be given, he's got to lay his hands on the head of that ox. And he's got to say, Lord. Interesting that in the New Testament, when they lay their hands on a man to ordain him for the ministry, there's a transference of authority. They're saying, we recognize that God's called this man. We recognize the gifts of God in this man. This man has proven himself. We're going to lay our hands on him and ordain him because the Holy Spirit has set him apart. And before you, we're letting you know that we recognize that calling. God's put these preachers in the position. Clearly, that's been proven. So now we're recognizing, that's why he said, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. Because when you transfer that authority, you ordain that person, you're giving your stamp of approval. There's something that goes on there spiritually. You know what the ministers were to do before they even started into the ministry? They were to lay their hands. It's an anointing. It's an ordination. And in the Old Testament, when they were so sinful before God and they had no permanent sacrifice for their sin, before they could even enter into ministry, they had to lay their hands on the head of that bull and they're putting a sin on them. And they're to be slayed, bulls to be slayed. It had to be offered, if you'll recognize it in verse number 4, had to be offered before they even entered in. And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle congregation and shall wash them with water. They're at the door of the tabernacle. They're not even in yet. Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 12. It had to be applied to the altar. Thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Before they could even come in there with another sacrifice, they had to take the sacrifice for sin offering and they had to pour that thing, put it on the power. Horns in the Bible are a type of power. They had to put it on the horns of the altar and they had to pour that blood out at the base of the altar. You know what I'm trying to show you tonight? I'm trying to show you that before you can serve God, you have to recognize that there's a sin problem. And that your sin, look, you're already saved. I'm not talking about your salvation right now. That goes without saying. That's not service, that's salvation. For salvation, you have to recognize there's a sin problem and that a sacrifice has to be made. I'm talking about for service. You want to serve God? You want to do something for God? Then you have to recognize right out of the gate. I mean, immediately. Hey, I believe it's even more important than recognizing your gifts. I want to know what God wants me to do. What am I called to do? Am I called to be a missionary? What am I called to? Before you even worry about any of that, you need to recognize your sinfulness. I don't believe God uses any man until that man knows his own faults. The closer you get to God, the more you see of God, the more you're going to see of yourself. How can you draw nigh to God and not see how far you fall short of Him? Really, I mean, when God begins to move in a man's life, when God begins to take a man to the next level, when God begins to reveal Himself to a man on a level that man's never seen God before, you study your Bible and you come tell me what that man thought of himself when he saw God on a greater level. The man every time winds up on his face before God, repenting and despising himself and seeing the power of God and begging for the mercy of God. Hey, you can't grow in Christ until you recognize how far you are short of His glory today. Now, hey, you're saved. Glory to God for that. But we get this attitude after we're saved and we've grown and we've read our Bibles and we're faithful to church. We've knocked off all the foolishness. That now that we got it all together, we're spiritual. We're so spiritual. Everything's fine. Oh, yes, I'm right with God. I'm not doing anything that's going to cause His judgment. And I believe that is the reason there's no consecration for service. I believe that's the reason there's no power in our service. We don't recognize our own sinfulness. God said, Aaron, before you and those boys come in, put your hands on the head of that bullock, slay that thing, pour that blood at that altar, anoint the horns of that altar with some blood. Hey, the sin offering has to be taken care of before we can even start serving. You can't help anybody else out until you see yourself. Can I tell you that's probably the problem in our childbearing? That's probably the issue in our marriage. That's probably the issue in our church. Don't raise your hand or even shake your head yes or anything like that, but haven't you got to that point here and there where you're like, you know, they need to just stop. She did it. He needs to. That's a real problem. Preacher needs to do something about that. Haven't you gotten there? You know what the real problem is? The real problem is we stop seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And if we really saw ourselves the way God saw us, we'd have charity towards the faults and problems and failures and chinks in everybody else's armor. And we'd be so focused on getting ourselves right with God. And then once we were, we would be so anointed by the Holy Spirit of God that He might be able to use us in a way we never saw ourselves even being used. Or He might be using us when we're truly filled with the Spirit of God, and we have no idea He's even using us. That has been my experience. My experience has been when it's really God, I'm shocked. You what? I said what? I did what? And every time I thought, well, I know what they need to say. I know what the Lord wants me to tell them. I know. It's been like, wait a minute, what happened? What was the collateral damage from my big stinking mouth? How much farther behind did I put somebody? I think the issue is that we don't look close to the bottom of the altar and say, before I begin making any sacrifices or doing any work, God, I want to thank You for the blood. Because I know that if You hadn't had blood and mercy, bloodshed and mercy on my sinfulness, I would have been destroyed today. Your mercies are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. God wanted His men not only to be anointed, but to make that sacrifice for sin. But the second sacrifice that's made in this chapter is the ram. He brings the rams with the oxen. Look at verse number 15. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them unto his pieces and unto his head.
And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments with him. And thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of what? Consecration. One loaf of the bread of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering. For it is a sweet savor unto the Lord, before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up, of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel. It is a heave offering. And it shall be an heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offerings unto the Lord. Now, go back with me and take a look at this oxen. It said in verse number 13, thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. Verse 14, but the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire. Where? Without the camp, it is a sin offering. So with the bullock, everything that stinks, everything that's going to be nasty, the skin and the dung, take all that outside the camp and burn it. What's that a representative of? His sin, his flesh. You peel off his skin, his flesh, and you burn that outside the camp. The dung. Paul said, "What things are gained to me, I counted but loss, counted but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." It's all the things that used to interest you, all the things that used to preoccupy you, all the things that used to be important to you. God says, "Get rid of that and burn it outside." Right? But this ram is different. Now, in the ox, all the inward things he could burn in that altar, right? Inside. God will accept the spiritual things. The flesh that you and I have to offer God doesn't mean much. Get it outside. But the spiritual things from the inside, that you and I can bring and offer as sinful men, the ox. We can bring and offer the spiritual things to God. Do you get that? The ram was treated differently. The ram, he has to, first of all, you got to slay that ram, you put your hands on it, and what you do, you slay that ram, and what do you do in verse number 20? When you kill the ram, you take his blood, and you put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot. What a bizarre order. Think about that. I mean, you're taking that ram, you know, there's a blood going everywhere, and you're dipping your finger in that thing, and you're putting it on the ear, put it on the thumb. Aren't you glad you're in the New Testament? Put it on the toe. What's up with that? He's consecrating these men for service. They're in the tabernacle offering service to God, trying to make restitution for the sins of Israel, for their own sins first, and for the sins of the nation. They're trying to enter in before God for worship. They're trying to keep everything right with the Lord. You realize that you and I, in our consecration for service, the ram has already been offered. Who's the ram? You guys read Genesis, where Abraham went to offer his son Isaac and God provided himself a ram, right? The sacrifice is Jesus Christ. The ram is Jesus Christ. In your service, you know what you got to do? You got to make sure the blood's applied to not just your soul,
but to your ear. He's showing that the things that those men hear, they've been out in that world, they've been out in that Israelite camp, they've been around a bunch of sinful people, but when you come in to serve God, if you're going to be consecrated to God, you better make sure there's some anointing, there's some covering for your ears. You realize things come into your ear gate without your control that are wicked. Hello! I didn't do it. I get that. But did it not enter in? That's a scary thought. Now, Jesus said it's not the things entering in that defile the man, but the things that come out. So when that thing goes in, it's been unholy. Wicked things are put in your mind. You can't exist in this world today. I don't care how much you try to shelter yourself. You cannot exist in this world without wicked things coming through that ear gate and wicked things coming through that eye gate. And you got to constantly have the blood of Jesus Christ consecrated and poured out on that ear, applied to that ear, so that those things that were in that gate don't get down in that heart and start coming back out of that mouth so they don't affect your soul. And if you're not careful about constantly making sure the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to the as a filter over your ears, before you know it, you'll start getting defiled. You think coming in on Sunday morning and coming back Sunday night and being faithful to be here Wednesday night's enough to keep you clean, and you're out in that world, I mean, you're working 8-hour shifts all week long and some of you are working overtime. You think it's enough? You want to be consecrated to serving God? We need to take this thing to a new level, folks. I'm talking about holy Christian living. I'm talking about God forgive me. God help me. God, that foolishness just went in my ear, and I don't want my heart to be affected by the thing that went in my ear gate. Hey, that blood's got to be applied to your thumb. You know, a major portion of your strength is going to be right there in that thumb. It's talking about your work. You put your hand to the work. You realize when you put your hand to the work, you got to make sure the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is at the preeminence in your eyes. When you're looking down at that hand, it's not what Mike is doing, it's what Jesus has done. Because our work, the work of men's hands, are something we'll begin to worship. You get in an awkward situation with a new guy you just met or a visitor at church, I'll tell you what to do, with a man at least. I'll tell you what to do. Ask him about work. Where do you work? How's work going? You ever notice that? It works. Why? Because men, nowadays, they worship their thumbs in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like video games or whatever. But men are proud of the work they do. I seen a guy this week I ain't seen in a while. He's like, hey, Mike. He knows I'm a pastor. I'm like, what? He's like, I want to show you something. Come here. I went over there. He's a construction worker. And he pulls up this picture. It took him forever to find it on his phone. And he pulled up this picture of a cross. Some guy artistically built this cross, and it was like really crazy. I'm not even to describe it to you, but I was like, wow, that's great. You know, I'm not into relics, but wow, cool, that's great. You know, he figured since I'm a pastor that I'd be into this thing. And boy, you should have just seen him. I said, did you build that? No, I got it, and I cleaned it up, and I did this, and I detailed that. But all proud of the work of his hands. You know what God told his ministers? The work you do, put the blood on it before you get started. You know what he wants on our feet? The blood on it. I mean, just, you know, you're one of the liberal Christians. Okay, fine. Heard tell recently, somebody said that nowadays modern Christians are all for fornication. It's okay. That's old school stuff. Well, sad to say, that's probably pretty true. Modern Christians have gone that far, justifying every sin there is. I'll tell you what. You're one of those kind of Christians, before you walk into that crack house or stop by your buddy's house to pick up your bag of weed or whatever you're doing, before you walk into that bar, put the blood on it. Just look down at your foot and say, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pick me up a six-pack. But before that, Lord, thanks for saving me. I appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ, and thank you for sanctifying my feet. And, you know, I want them to go where you want them to go. I want them to do what you want them to do. I want to make sure that everything I'm doing, Lord, is blessed by you. Bless this six-pack in Jesus' name, and go pick it up. See how it works for you. Before you can serve God, before you can please God, you got to evaluate that thing by the blood.
Notice something else. In verses 22 through 28, we're not going to take the time to read back through it all again, but what he had to do with this is he had to heave and wave this offering. He had to heave this offering. What would you do when you heave something? It goes straight up. And what else did he have to do? He had to wave it. Wave the answer back to heaven by thy grace we will. The ram was to be heaved. Are you seeing me? It was to be heaved and it was to be waved. What'd I just make? You know what they were doing over there with that ram? That's Jesus Christ. And they were to heave that ram and wave that ram. And some of that was to be burnt to God. And it was God's. But once they'd applied that blood from the bullock, and once they'd applied that blood from the ram, and they put that blood on their ear, and they put that blood on their thumb, and they put that blood on that toe, and they're heaving and waving that thing, you know what they were allowed to do? They were allowed to eat. They were allowed to fellowship. They were allowed to enter in there and sit down before God, and they were allowed to partake of that offering. You realize, Christian, before you and I can enjoy the fellowship that's in Jesus, before you and I can take that thing and can eat that thing and can be anointed by God, we have to recognize the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. We have to recognize the cross of Calvary has been there for us. We're to take up our cross and to follow Him. And once we've applied the blood, recognized our sin, got our anointing, hey, seen that sacrifice, then we can sit down and we can have some sweet fellowship. And the reason Christians don't have any fellowship is because there's been no anointing. After the anointing, there was no recognition of sin anymore. After the sin, there was no eyes set on Calvary, eyes set on Jesus Christ, recognition of that ram and blood applied actively and daily to the Christian life. Well, preacher, what are you talking about? The blood applied regularly? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what we do? We get saved. Praise God for my salvation. We grow a little bit in the Lord. We move forward for God a little bit. And then you know what we do? We stop confessing. Can I tell you, maybe the reason you're struggling the way you're struggling tonight is it's been a long time since you've been there with that bullock offering. It's been a long time since you got down and did business with God. I'm talking about nitty gritty business with God. I got one last thing to show you that I'm going to skip tonight because I want to wrap it up, but I'll just mention it to you. You can go back and read it for yourself later. In verses 38 through 44, there was a lamb offered morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening, continually. I'm glad that that Lamb of God, boy, the lamb's different from the ox. The lamb's different from the ram. That lamb is gentle and sweet and peaceful. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That lamb was offered morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening, continually. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still applies to you today? Aren't you glad it's good for the morning, it's good for the evening, it'll be good tomorrow, it'll be good next week, it'll be good next month. If God lets you live to 100, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross will be good for you when you're 100. That's a blessing to have that thing, to have the faithfulness of that thing, the continual nature of the Lamb. And you know what we do? We forget all about Him. We get in the middle of our week and get all busy and burdened down and struggling and troubled and frustrated, and we forget all about Him. You know, I'm not saying this to harp on you. I'm just saying it as a fact, and I could just have walked in here and not know anybody from Adam, and I could say this in any church in America, so this is not meant to be harping. But it's been a long time since some of you have been at an altar. It's been a long time. You know, I gotta think, as much Bible as gets preached, even if it could be preached much better, as much Bible as gets preached, there are times that God's pointed out some things that need to be dealt with.
And I don't think God is busy pointing out everything else about everybody else to you. You know what I think God wants to point out to me? The things about me that I need to see. And the entry point is the bullock, the sin offering. Folks, the entry point in our consecration to serving God is getting right and staying right. Once we've gotten right everything that's been bothering us, everything that's been clouding our walk with Christ, everything that's gotten in our head, that's taken our eyes off the Lord, it may be actual sins. You may be committing things you shouldn't commit. It may not be that. You may be cleaned up, but it may be your spirit. It may be some things going on in your heart and in your mind that aren't right. It may not be that. For you, it may just be life has gotten you distracted and now you're miserable and you're unthankful and you're not focusing on the right things and all you can see is the faults in everybody else. All that stuff, whether it be flesh or spirit or soul, personality, has to be given to God and blood's got to be poured out on that altar before your service can be accepted. God will fellowship with a man who has sin in his nature, but not with a man who has sin in his heart. And we say, since I ain't drinking, ain't cussing, ain't smoking, ain't listening to rock and roll, I'm right with God. Hogwash. Hogwash. Are you really right with God? How's your spirit? How's your attitude? That bullock's offered, praise the Lord. How about the ram? When's the last time you heaved and waved anything before him? Looked at that cross, thought about that cross, and then enjoyed that fellowship because you've gotten it all right and you got the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you got your confession done up and now you're just focusing on Jesus a little bit. There is no getting to the point where it's morning and evening and morning and evening and morning and evening. It's a faithful, deep, consecrated, separated walk until we've taken care of the business that needs to be taken care of. But what every one of us desires if we're saved, every one of us desires it. Morning and evening. Morning and evening, continually. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I want peace in my heart. I want joy in my life. I want the power of God in my personal Bible reading, in my prayer life, in my relationship with my wife, in my fathering, in my pastoring, in my relationships, casual acquaintances in the world. I want the power of God in it. And if I'm not a consecrated Christian, I don't have it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and give you an invitation. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to step out.